Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
Welcome to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we are taking part two of a two-part series dealing with Am I Good Enough? I have three special guests that are joining me again today, and I appreciate their efforts and learned so much from them last time, and I'll just actually allow them to introduce themselves. We'll start with Neil Marriott. Neil, you're the second counselor in the Young Women's General Presidency. Welcome.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. Grateful to be here. I am the mother of 11 and the happy wife of David Marriott, who actually introduced the gospel to me 44 years ago. And we have 30 grandchildren with one more on the way. So that's what's occupying my thoughts at the moment.
That's a lot to occupy your thoughts. This is great. We also have joining us Linda S. Reeve, who's second counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Welcome.
Thank you. I was touched. You mentioned your husband, David, and Jean had mentioned her husband, Mark, before. And I thought, I didn't mention my husband, Mel, who is so good and so wonderful. And I love him to death.
And you have children and grandchildren?
We do. We've been blessed to have 13 children, and Neil and I have the same number right now for a few moments, 30 grandchildren. It's a great blessing. Thank you.
Well, we're so thrilled to have you. And we have Jean A. Stevens, who is the first counselor in the primary general presidency also. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. I'm glad to be here.
And tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I have a wonderful husband and 5 children and 10 grandchildren. So it's a great blessing. Oh, they're the light of my life.
This is great. So we have experienced voices that we'll be talking today about this topic about am I good enough? And this is an interesting topic to talk about, but it's something I think that we all wonder about in different stages of our lives and different circumstances. And in our last episode, we talked a little bit about where that comes from. We talked about the influence and the pressure from outside. You gave some excellent advice talking about how we manage this, tidbits of how we discern what's most important, stepping back, really great things. I learned so much. And so I thought maybe I would start off in having you help me with the expertise and especially with your experience of late. So here we have 3 women who have been given the opportunity to work directly with certain organizations. So we have those that are dealing with children. We have those that are dealing with young women and those who are dealing with the women of the church. But yet, interestingly enough, it all meshes together. And so in primary, you're not just dealing with children.
No,
you're dealing with mothers and you're dealing with adult women
and fathers
and everything else. And same with young women as far as that goes. It's interesting as well. I'm only worrying about young women. Oh, actually, you have young women leaders. You have mothers, etc. So there are 3 threads here to this wonderful tapestry that must weave together. That's what I love about the gospel. It weaves all parts into one whole. So with that in mind, what are you seeing out there in your opportunity when you're serving amongst the sisters of the church? I'm sure that this comes up, wondering if they're fulfilling their calling well enough, if they're being able to do things well enough, or maybe let's add this also, what are you learning from the leaders of the church? What are they asking about, or what are they finding is on the minds or that women are being challenged with? What's your reaction?
Well, there are a lot of distractions out there these days for women, and trying to decide what the important things are.
I could say one thing that's important. It's mothers of teenage girls. When a young woman, well, I'm thinking of some darling girls that we met in Africa. These girls did not have mothers who were their friends, and they were alone in trying to live gospel standards, in trying to find patterns of womanhood, patterns of faith as a woman. They are doing it. It's not easy, and they're depending quite a bit on friends or leaders. But, oh, if there had been a mother of faith that could have nurtured and even shown some kind of interest. Maybe I was just hoping for the mother to be interested in the young woman.
That's interesting.
Just that would have added great strength to this young woman.
See, this is an interesting element. So when you talk about What we do need is we need mothers of teenage young women, and we need mothers of primary age, and we need mothers. I mean, I just think of this influence. And when you talk about distractions, Linda, I think that this is a real experience, is people that are trying to do the most important things, not just choosing between what's on their plate, but choosing the direction of their lives. So some people are saying, well, you know, I want to do something important in my life. And maybe mothering isn't even on the list, because somewhere in the line, they're hearing a voice that's saying, this is what's most important, is you need to be able to go here, do this, have these letters behind your name. And I'm not taking away from education or experience. It's just this ranking. There's a lot of voices. What's your thoughts on this? Is this concept of being pulled of, is this valuable? You got to admit, sometimes it's like, wait a second, is this really that important? I am doing laundry. Is that really that important? There's got to be something better out there.
We've all experienced that with little young children. It is... you're doing the same things over and over, and some days you just think, "Does this? Am I accomplishing anything? It gets undone as fast as I do something or whatever." But I love. I think it was Elder Holland who gave a talk about to mothers once, and I've never forgotten that talk, because he so pointedly said to mothers, "You are doing God's work," and I think if we can keep that in our minds and not feel like this is meaningless. It has the most meaning, what we are doing, but it's hard to keep that in our hearts and in our, you know, in our minds while we're about those tasks.
I think that's so important. As a matter of fact, he talks about this talk. This was from 1997, entitled "Because She Is a Mother." Fabulous mm-hmm. advice, especially for times now when it seems that this is accentuated and there's such a conversation of what is important amongst mothers and women and pretty much all saints right now. It's almost as if he was a man before his time mm-hmm. talking about this so long ago, or like he was a prophet or a seer or a revelator or something.
Something like that.
But when I read through these, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is applicable today. This is necessary mm-hmm. today. And it was as if the prophetic voice is saying, let's get things in order here. And you are doing an important task, and don't forget how important that is.
Well, and we have, of course, a growing number of single women in the church, single mothers in the church, who must work. And sometimes I think for a woman or mother who has opted to stay at home and has the ability to stay at home, she sees what other women are out there accomplishing, and it can look like the doldrums at home. I think sometimes also maybe we in Relief Society haven't done a great job of helping women to know that mothering is hard. Mothering can be frustrating. It's exhausting. It's not always fun every day, every minute of the hour, and you don't always see the benefits or lasting accomplishments that, you know, I think as your children get older and you watch them go through this same process now that we are grandmothers and you see your own children, you just want to cheer them every day and you see their value and what they have turned out to be. And so you do know that this is Heavenly Father's work. When you think about what He says, this is my work and my glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man and women, mm-hmm. men and women, keeping that big picture every day is sometimes a difficult thing.
This is really good. And I love what you're saying on this is sometimes when you're asking yourself, is this really that important? Because this isn't what the world is telling us is important. And sometimes it's not even what some other people that we know, our friends, are telling us that are important. And okay, now I'm going to give you a metaphor that comes from my childhood. My father was an engineer. And I remember him all the time talking about structures and buildings when I was growing up. And he'd point out these buildings and talk about how this happens and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And I was so used to looking at the building itself, but he would always point out, he says, the most important part of this building is its foundation. You know, and so I'm like, Dad, that's the boringest thing we can talk about. You can't even see the foundation. It's where is the foundation, for crying out loud? And he goes, no, this entire building and everything that you do see is resting upon a foundation. If the foundation is faulty, the building will collapse over time and it will have no value. Looking back on that, what a great experience. And so, Linda, when you're talking about sometimes the things that we are doing that aren't seen, maybe those are the foundational things. And Jean, when you were talking about this concept of with children and things like that, I couldn't help but think of my own daughter-in-law raising my grandchildren. And she sends out these little, really cute little posts and Instagrams and Vines and all these little social media things of watching her interact with her children. And sometimes I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is not about runny noses. The way that she is treating these children and the way that she is handling them is laying a foundation for these kids that will change their lives forever. And so she wonders if she's doing anything important, and she's building character of children in the way that she acts that will never be seen by the world, but will have lasting value for generations to come.
Do you mind me sharing a personal experience? I love my calling, and I've enjoyed how I enjoy going out and meeting women all over the world. But one day, coming home to my empty house, except for my dear husband and myself, I just broke down and just started bawling. And he said, "What's wrong?" Maybe he was saying, "Aren't I enough?" And I just said to him, I don't know why I'm feeling this way, but I just long to go back. I wish I could go back to those days where I had nothing else to do but be with my children and be a part of their little lives and read books and sing songs and go outside and maybe do homework and some of the hard things too. But I think when you're in the midst of it, sometimes you're missing the joy of those days.
So how do you find that joy? That may be a silly question, but I think we might have to look for it. I don't know. Elder Holland, in this great talk, he talks, there's three things that are challenging, especially women. And he says, one is that they are worried whether they're measuring up to the LDS standards. They hear these talks and things like that, and they're all going, I wonder if I'm a good LDS mother. And he says that they feel worried because they didn't measure up somehow or weren't going to be equal to the expectations and the task. The second thing that he brings up, he says the world expects them to be super mothers, not only teach their children, but as the way he says it, you know, in the way he says things, that they must be teaching her children reading, writing, interior design, Latin, calculus, and the internet all before the baby is terribly ordinary, as if, he says, goo-goo isn't good enough. And then the third thing, so we have the LDS expectation, we have the world expectation. The third thing he points out is he says that sometimes what happens in trying to determine whether you're living up to the standards are the things that other people say to you. Is sometimes it says that they get advice from other people that seems to distract, and sometimes it's actually patronizing, or sometimes it's hurtful, etc. And he says this is something that we're dealing with. So how do we combat? How do we deal with this? Please.
Well, I don't think we combat.
Okay, good.
I think as soon as we start to fight back against all these voices that are coming at us, we will be overwhelmed and feel inadequate and helpless and weak. But I believe that we turn off any voice that doesn't sound like something Heavenly Father would say. And I have done that before, actually, when someone said to me, "Why are you having so many children?" This was a neighbor on our block. And I said, "Because I like it." And she said, "Don't you think that's irresponsible?" Maybe it's because my children look running around with ragged T-shirts and, you know, playing games at 10 o'clock at night in the summer. I don't know. But I said, "No, I like what I'm doing." And I'm sure that wasn't the answer she wanted. But I have had to ask myself, would Heavenly Father say that to me? Well, absolutely not. So I'm going to not dwell on that. It doesn't come from a source that is loving or supportive or helpful to me. And then there have been other times my background is not LDS, and so there are some other voices that come from that background that also put great emphasis on college degrees, advanced degrees, and I have had to stop and remind myself, I know I'm doing what Heavenly Father wants, even though it does not look important in the eyes of the world or intelligent eyes of the world.
Let me ask you on this real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you. You say you know. You say, I know I'm doing the right thing. How did that come about? Was that all of a sudden, ding, the light switch on, and you knew immediately? Was it a process? What was it for you to come to us with such conviction to say, I know? So what?
I believe if I go all the way back to my teenage years, I loved my Father in heaven. it was simple for me to love my Father in heaven because I had an earthly father who had the characteristics of a loving Father in heaven. So my transfer of love and trust was rather simple to this being. But he is my safety place. And when we had our first child, the feeling was so right. It was fitting. It was right. I knew this was approved of. And so it was easy to say, I would love to have another child. It is right. And as the second one came, it was right. By the ninth one, I knew that feeling was coming. By then, there were many voices saying, are you sure? But I was sure because I knew from Heavenly Father, this was right for me. I'm not saying that nine is right for anyone else. It was my relationship with my Father in heaven. And during that journey, to recognize that without the Savior and His atonement, I was powerless. I could not have coped. But I had to look at what was going on in my home, the messy house, the toys all over the front yard that didn't match the neighbor's yard, the things that didn't look tidy. I had to look at them and say, well, I know Heavenly Father loves me, and I know that it feels right to have these children. And so I'm going to go with that trust in Him, and I'm not going to trust these voices that I know don't come from Him.
You know, one of my favorite scriptures is I learned so much from the experiences in the book of Genesis and also in the Pearl of Great Price, which are similar stories about Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, I find this so instructive on so many different levels. And when you're talking, I couldn't help but think of Adam and Eve, of all things. And one of the lines in there, it comes down, is after they go through this experience and Heavenly Father comes down and they're a little ashamed of their actions, having eaten of the forbidden fruit, etc. and stuff. And then Heavenly Father comes down and He asks a simple question. He says, who told thee that thou was naked? Or in other words, who have you been listening to lately? We were talking not long ago and everything seemed to be just fine. And now all of a sudden, something's going on. You've been listening to an alternate voice. And then after that, they leave the garden. There's a little phrase in here that comes and it talks about that they turned themselves from whence the garden was. They faced the Lord to hear His voice. And I like what you're saying in a way is voices are going to come. And the world's going to be putting pressures on all of us. And when we're trying to measure, am I measuring up? The question is, whose standard am I trying to measure up? And I like what you're saying. I learned the voice of the Lord, and I knew what it was like through experience, and it was easier to listen to that amidst all the other voices. Linda?
Well, and we can look at what prophets, seers, and revelators have said. I love the family, a proclamation to the world. And it starts out proclaiming that marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God and that the family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children. So, of course, Neil, when you receive those feelings, we're keeping our covenants, we're participating in the Lord's work, His most important work.
There's always a primary song that teaches the doctrine, and we have one that's the song for this year. God gave us families to help us become what He wants us to be. This is how He shares His love, for the family is of God. And it teaches those words from the proclamation. But I love that thought that we're in families to help us become what He ultimately wants for all of us. And it's a family relationship that we learn those things.
This is so good. Thank goodness for primary. I think of some of these songs, like I'm still trying to work through my mind the importance of once there was a snowman and what doctrinal implications that might have. But as you were speaking, and as all of you are speaking, I've been thinking about this all day today, is that primary song is, I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And then the next line is so wonderful. I know who I am. I know God's plan. And if we can have children and young women and women and young men and men all be able to stand up tall and say, I know who I am and I know God's plan for me. Wouldn't that help? Wouldn't that help in being able to somehow come to a concept of I'm doing okay. I'm on the plan. Because think about this in D&C section 10, the Lord comes to Joseph and says, look, there's something important here. I don't want you to run faster than you're able and labor with strength that you don't have. Now He's not saying, I don't want you to work. I want you to give everything you have. And then Joseph can say, I know who I am, and I know God's plan, and now I go about it without feeling like I'm failing God and all those around me. Does that make sense?
Yes, it really does. How do you know who you are? I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, we know who we are when the Spirit whispers to us, and we need to seek that. I don't think it always just comes effortlessly to know who we are. But once we know, once we have made the effort to kneel down and ask, Heavenly Father, who am I? Am I important? It's kind of like the primary song, Heavenly Father, are you really there? And do you listen to a child's prayer? He does. And that knowledge will come. It might not come crashing in on us. It didn't come crashing in on me. But there was something settling and loving and sure in a world full of doctrine that didn't make sense when I was younger in another faith. But I knew he was real, and he knew me, and I was something important to him. That alone allowed me to start recognizing the Spirit, especially when the missionaries came. But I think we do need to take some action and ask, am I important to you? Am I someone important that you love? Who am I, Heavenly Father? We will begin to get feelings that will draw us in, that will give us an opportunity to compare to the other voices saying, you're nothing. You don't have a degree. You just have children. You have a messy yard. That we can turn from those voices and say, no, there's another voice that feels right and good.
I like this. I can't help but think of President Henry B. Eyring once in a related way, talking about early in his career where he was talking with his wife, and his wife simply asked a question, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And he said it kind of took him back. He says, there's nothing a little bit more wrenching than when your spouse asks you, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And you think you're doing everything you were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's kind of like what you're saying, Neil, and I like this concept, is every once in a while it's good to be able to say, hey, and especially Heavenly Father, am I on the right course? Am I about your business? Am I doing what I need to do? And what might I be able to do better? Have you ever had experiences in your lives where you found that your expectations or your measurements of success, measuring up, have been changed or tweaked by the Lord, where he's saying, hey, time for a little adjustment here. And I want you to be able to be about this. And you found great joy in the adjustment. Has that ever happened to any of you? I mean, you're accomplished women where the Lord, because I think when you're talking, sometimes a season, sometimes the Lord, if you're going to believe in revelation, sometimes the Lord says, hey, I want you to go left. And you're like, well, you told me straight. Yeah. And you've been doing straight really well for 3 years. And that got you to the point where now you go left. I mean, this living revelation often tells us where we're at. Linda?
Well, and I think you get that living revelation every time you open the scriptures, okay, every time you pray, every time you go to the temple, every time you partake of the sacrament. The Lord helps you tweak and helps you to see what you do need to change.
And when you're really seeking the Spirit in your life and having a confirmation from the Spirit that you're square with the Lord, it changes everything for you. Because no matter what those other voices are, just as you described, Neil, you feel like, no, I can go forward with what's in my heart and not worry about everybody else's opinions because I feel right with the Lord.
I like this. Neil?
There's a question I asked, Linda, when you spoke of the sacrament. I mean, that is such a power-packed 10 minutes. We know the Spirit's there. It's a priesthood ordinance, and it's our time to reach out and get everything we can in. And Matt, when you asked about has there been a time when there's been tweaking, boy, that is a tweaking time
okay. Every
week. But I find that after I go through my litany of my list of things I need to repent of and ask for forgiveness and apologize and feel like, okay, I can do better, I do ask this question, is there more? That's the tweaking time.
Right.
There's always more. That's the good news and the bad news probably. But that is a time when it's not my turn to say, here they are. Here are the things that I'm not doing that I need to do better, and I'm sorry, and I'll do better. But I finally give Heavenly Father a little space. I don't do every week, I will admit. I forget sometimes. And sometimes it's kind of painful, but usually it's quite helpful. Heavenly Father, is there more? Something that I haven't thought of that it's on thy mind? And a thought will sail through my mind, the gentlest thought or a little picture. Maybe it's as simple as not being grateful enough for David, for all the marvelous things he's done. But anyway, giving Heavenly Father space in my prayers to put in something instead of me always.
I like that. Mm-hmm. That's really good. And as a matter of fact, I love what you're saying is in a setting where you're asking, is there more? Can I do more? What would thou have me do? All of these wonderful things in the setting when you're doing with our Father in heaven, I think that's an important setting rather than just going through and making our own lists and letting the world make the list. I like this because the Spirit can come and distill upon us and can help us in the experience of being able to say, yes, there's more. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I've noticed that when Satan urges me to, or points out the things that I'm not doing right, and you need to do more, and gives me the list of things, you know, you're not measuring up, you're not measuring. There's a feeling about that is when it's Satan bound or world bound or not God bound, I feel overwhelmed. Oh, yeah. I feel discouraged and I want to quit because I know I can't. However, when I found for me, when Heavenly Father tells me that I'm not quite doing what I'm supposed to, and even says, you need to improve, and here's some things you need to do, or what you're saying, Neil, here's some suggestions since you asked. Here's a couple of things you could be working on. I find that it's a different experience because, yes, I have things to do and I need to move my feet, but I feel I can. And I know that I can do this. It's a difference. Satan always dead ends and says, you can't. And the Lord says, expand and you can.
You know, that what you're talking about, Matt, makes me think of how important the sacrament is because it's not, while there's more we can do, just the symbolism of an Aaronic priesthood holder with his arm outstretched, giving the sacrament, providing you the opportunity to take it, is a reminder that the Lord's arm is stretched out still. That he doesn't want to discourage us, but he's got his arm out there reaching for us just as that sacrament comes, that we can take his hand and we have power to be better than we are because of him. And he doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to be reminded, no, I'm here to help you.
I like that. Discouraged versus encouraged. Mm-hmm. He is the great encourager. Linda?
One thought that also comes to me is virtue. And I think about how in the Doctrine and Covenants section 121, we're told, let virtue garner thy thoughts unceasingly, and then we can stand confident before the Lord. And I think in today's world, and virtue doesn't always mean cleanliness of thought, but it can mean not being critical of other people, not having negative thoughts, not having complaining thoughts and so forth, especially in today's world where we walk into a store, we walk into anywhere, we're seeing things that are not virtuous or on our television or wherever it is, even magazines and so forth. I just have come to know in my own life that the more virtuous I am, the easier it is to feel the Spirit, and the better you feel, and the Lord is tweaking you as you become more like he is.
I love this because I think that the Lord is very liberal in affirming that and telling you that you are virtuous in the degree that you need to at this point. And he's always, like you were saying, Neil, has always wants us to become more and more as far as that goes, but it's not the pressure. And I think that he will always let us know. He's not afraid to compliment, and he's not afraid to say, you're doing just fine. Mm-hmm. And you're like, going, but I find myself, but Heavenly Father, don't you realize I'm not doing this? Yes, thank you for pointing that out, but you're doing just fine. You're doing just fine. Well, sadly, we're to the end of our time, but I do want to ask each of you to maybe share a closing thought that you would to possibly those who are listening that are thinking, you know what, I've been wondering about this. Am I a good wife? Am I a good woman? Am I a good mother? Am I a good father? Am I a good son, a daughter? This concept that's coming up of what counselor advice, just in a very short way, to be able to give them. And I think that that's a valuable thing, is I've been learning so much, and I can't help but think of a phrase in Danish that it doesn't translate very well into English. It's when people say, how are you doing? And in Danish, they often say, godt nok, which literally translated means good enough. Now, if you say that in the United States, they're like, going, really? What's wrong? In Danish, they'll say, oh, that's great. In other words, it's sufficient. It's not saying that I don't want to have anything else happening in my life that's good, and I don't want to improve my circumstances. What they're saying is, at this moment in time, at this very, very time right now, I'm good enough. I am content with the desire to go more. Does that make sense? I love this concept of, am I good enough? In many cases, you know, I think we are Gottnok. We're good enough now on the road to better. And I love this concept. But why don't, if you wouldn't mind, would you please just share just a closing thought of what we might be able to say to those that are wondering or wrestling with, am I measuring up? Am I good enough? Jean?
Maybe the thought that comes to my mind was from that talk of Elder Holland's. I had read it last night. I love this phrase in it. He says, "No one has failed who keeps trying and keeps praying." And I love that thought, that when we keep trying, that we aren't failing. And when we keep praying, then we're accessing his power and help. And so I love those two things. Keep trying, keep praying, and we're doing all right.
So good. Thank you. Neil?
I think just if someone really asks that question, they are good enough right there. Just that's such an earnest, soul-seeking question. Mm-hmm. Am I a good enough spouse? Am I being a good enough mother? That is saying, I want to know. I'm willing to take a look. And I just know that if you're going to ask that, there is great hope in store for you. There's a sweetness out there that's going to say back, you are good enough.
I love that. Linda?
And just striving to be a little bit better each day. And Neil, you're mentioning service to our spouses, to our children, to our neighbors. That's the best medicine, to feel better about yourself when you serve someone. And giving your offering to the Lord by the little things you do, his direction each day to acknowledge him.
Oh, what great advice and what good counsel. I appreciate this. I think when some people are asking, do I have enough? I think the Lord's saying, yes, you do have enough. Mm-hmm. Now give me what you've got, and I will give you more. And perhaps just in closing then is nothing else that I could add to that, but I will let Elder Holland close for us from that 1997 talk. This seems quite appropriate, and I wasn't planning on reading this, but I'll read it nonetheless. Quote, he says, "You are doing God's work. You are doing it wonderfully well. He is blessing you, and he will bless you, especially when your days and your nights may be the most challenging. Like the woman who anonymously, meekly, perhaps even with hesitation and some embarrassment, fought her way through the crowd just to touch the hem of the Master's garment, so Christ will say to the women who worry and wonder and sometimes weep over their responsibility as mothers," and then he says the scripture, "daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And then Elder Holland ends by saying, "and it will make your children whole as well." I just love what he says here. And so when he comes down, he's so good about this, is you are doing magnificently well when you're in the Lord's work. And I appreciate your comments. I've learned much. And actually, the nice part about this, you have inspired me to be more. And I want to go out and be better so that I can measure up to what the Lord asks me, which is more than I was maybe yesterday, I think is just the best. So thank you for your comments.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.